All right, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Remember tonight that, I'm just saying this in case I forget. We will begin the closing hymn at 8:30. Okay? 8:30 right here, closing hymn. So if you're a leader of a prayer group, that means you need to calculate that we're back here at 8:30 on the dot. Okay? Now, if the Holy Spirit takes over and you get revival in your prayer group, you just stay right there. Okay? Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, want to look at this verse. We'll look at it in the context in a little bit. The Bible says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The supernatural power and ability of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. We see some familiar phrases there. It says, verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Here we find that phrase, grace, translated favor, which spoke of the influence of the church on the lost people. We have that familiar thought here in Acts chapter 4 in verse 33. We want to think about the fact that, "and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ." I'd like to take a few minutes and think about the power of the church, the spiritual power of the church. Now, the spiritual power of the church is never for no reason at all. There's always a reason for a church to have power, or there's a reason why a church doesn't have power. And I think that's really one of the key understanding of spirituality, spiritual growth, being a functioning member of a church is to be able to understand the principle of spiritual power. Okay? And every church has some kind of spiritual power. Either has a lack of spiritual power or it has spiritual power. And in this particular case, there was a reason that they had, or there was a reason, there were accompanied factors that gave power to the church. First of all, we see in verse 33 a common denominator. It says, "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and having brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet." Now, if you think about that, you think of Acts chapter 2, and you see a similar situation of selflessness. And it says in Acts chapter 2, it says in verse 44, "And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." Now, we see a selflessness that was characterizing the church, the people of the church. You see, the church, the power of the church is a cumulative thing, all right? We would like to think that it's just up to one person and that's where you have the power of the church. No, the power of the church is a cumulative thing. It's a result of all the different aspects and all the different people and all the different groups of the church provide the power the spiritual power of the church. Well, what is spiritual power? Well, spiritual power really has to do with the reality of prayers being answered. It has to do with the reality of people hearing the gospel. It has to do with the reality of people getting saved. It has to do with people's lives being changed. It has to do with people being joyful in the Lord. It is speaking about the effect of the ministry on the world and the people around the world and one another. Spiritual power. And it says here the church had great power. Had great power. And we see that there are always ingredients to it. And there was a reason for it. Now in Acts chapter 2, we find a couple reasons. One of them was the selflessness of the people. The selflessness of the people. Now, obviously we see something that was being broken. What was broken? Materialism. You think that was an issue? Anybody know anything about Jewish culture? Anybody know anything about Jewish culture? How long have the Jews been in charge of economies, of nations? How long have the Jews been in charge of banking system? How long have the Jewish people been in charge, very closely associated with the material, economic structure of a society? Long time. And guess what? They gave it up. It didn't mean anything to them anymore. The gospel became the most important thing to them. Getting people saved became the most important thing to them. And their material, the hold of materialism on their life was broken. Now, it was for survival, but it's also for the spread of the gospel. And this has two factors. One, it was selflessness. The other half of it was charity, love. They were in love with one another, and they were in love with Christ, and so there was a sharing. And the love and the selflessness of the people produced an atmosphere of spiritual power. Now, we could also obviously say that there was a spiritual aspect of this. In Acts chapter 2, we found that it said that those who were baptized, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, there's a spiritual aspect to this. And what was it? Hunger for the Bible, a desire to be a partner in the gospel, a love of worshiping the Lord, a desire to pray. I mean, that was spiritual. Okay. Now, I suppose that we could say tonight that, you know, I've been there too. Some might be here tonight and they say, well, you know, we got to go to church on Wednesday night. But actually, inside they're thinking, boy, I can't wait to get out. Or some are saying, you know, that's what we're supposed to do, but if I really had my druthers, I got other things that are more important to do. You know, that's real, isn't it? What do you think produces spiritual power? The attitude of the people of God. The the heart of the people of God, the love for the Lord. That there were reasons for the spiritual power. Now, I thought I'd put it in practical terms tonight. Is that, you know, a church is made up of different groups of people. And, you know, every group, as well as every individual. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, it tells us that when one member suffers, everybody suffers with it. And when one member abounds, the whole church is influenced for the good. And this is a spiritual reality because a church is a spiritual organism. Now, let's kind of put it into practical terms today. Now, let's first of all talk about in groups. Now, in our church, we have groups. We have younger children. They're a group in our church. And you know what? They influence the spiritual power of this church. Every group and every individual either adds to the spiritual power or subtracts from the spiritual power. So we have children. That's a group in our church. You know, we have, we have, you know, old children. You know, we're talking about, you know, fifth grade, you know, sixth grade. You know, that group, those are older children. You know, you have younger children, you have older little children. You know, that's a group in our church. They're a distinct group. And we have junior hires. You know, junior hires maybe can blend them in with the senior highs. But you know what? That's a group. And that group has an influence on the spiritual power. It either adds the spiritual power or detracts from the spiritual power. It pulls away. We have college young people. We have college age young people, and in that we kind of can put within that maybe a little broader segment. We can have single adults, you know, single young adults. You know, there's that group in our church. And sometimes that group can be divided. It can be divided as a group. It can be divided into those who are really sold out for the Lord, and then there's that can be that part that really, you know, they just kind of come to church and you can tell they really don't want to be here. And then, you know, you have young couples. You have young couples. And then you might say we have older couples. You know? And, you know, there's kind of a group of people. And you know, they have a lot of things in common. And their children are older. You know, and then we have senior citizens. You know, there's a broad range, you know, of what you call senior citizens. But you know, senior citizens, they're a group of people, and they wouldn't have children at home, and they're kind of free in life, you know, they don't go to work, you might say. They don't go to work every day. And they're their own distinct group. So you have all these groups in a church. You might say we have other groups. Yeah, subdivide that. You have girls. You have boys. You have teenage girls. You have teenage boys. You have college guys. You have college-age girls. You have fathers. You have men. I mean, men. Yeah, they would be men. You have ladies. Okay? You know, there's many groups in a church. And each one of these groups have in one sense of the word, every one of these groups can be, you know, either add to the spiritual power of the church or they can detract from it. You know, you can have, this new group of children. I like this new, I see in this new group of little children, I see some real bright lights. I see some enthusiasm. I see excitement. Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited to be the missionary. I'm excited. I'm excited to sing for the Lord. Oh, I'm excited. You know what? I can just sense the spiritual power there. They might not have any idea about it. I see it. They're adding to the power of the church. And if you're perceptive, you sense it. Spiritual power. It's in a group. Now you could get, let's just say you get a group of men together. Maybe they're in the lobby. You have a group of men. And you know, you could just kind of, okay, what kind of power is there? What do they talk about? What are they excited about? You know, what kind of power is there? You know, you could have teenage boys. And you know, they get them together at church. And they could be right up here, excited about the Bible, anxious to hear it. You know what? Noticeable influence, right, Phil? You feel it. It adds to the power. It's real. You could have a bunch of girls that, you know, they kind of talking during the whole service. And you think, what are they thinking? This is an add to the spiritual power. Something's wrong. You know, every group in the church, whatever group you're a part of, your group either adds to the power or takes away from power. You know what I mean? You get the group of ladies that are at home. What do? I mean, what do they do? What are their thoughts on? How much time do they spend in the Bible? You know, it's a great privilege for a mother to stay at home. But what does she do in that time? Is she getting close to God? Is she praying? I tell you what, nobody may know it, but it is obvious. It's obvious. So let's talk about it on an individual basis. So ask yourself, the group that I'm in, does it add to the power of the church? Does it add to the power, spiritual power? You have to be honest with yourself. It's the only way that this message can be effective. Secondly, what about an individual basis? You know, we may be a part of a group, but we can't control the group. But what about an individual? Now, the Bible is talking about how that power is magnified when there's one accord. And you have a bunch of young people, young children, they're excited about the Lord. And you can imagine that they probably play church at home and they think about being a preacher and just think, boy, you know what, that's just, you can just sense that when it comes to church there's something happening here. It's real. Spiritual power, you know. And when they pray in a prayer group, you know, people say, man, look at that kid. He prays like he really means it. You know, it's real. But what about an individual? You know, every individual can make an impact upon the power of the church. You know, and that really has to do with our secret life. That has to do with our secret life. And you know, you can kind of put yourself in the context of the New Testament here. I mean, you had all these individuals who gave up something, who sacrificed something. And because a church is all about God and the spiritual, those invisible, unknown acts bring spiritual power in the church. When a young person, let's say a young person in seventh grade, and you know what? All their friends are doing whatever. All listening to the same music. They secretly have the same movie agenda. And this one seventh grader says, you know what? I'm not going to be like that. Immediately, there is an effect. There is an effect upon the church. They have no idea. But there is an immediate effect upon the church. There is an immediate effect upon their group. But there is also an immediate effect upon the church. Because the church is all about spiritual power. And you know, when a dad makes some secret decisions for God, maybe they're even struggling spiritually. But you know, they make a secret decision for God. Well, I tell you what, that makes a huge impact on the church. Because spiritual power of the church is really direct. There's a huge relationship between men and the power of the church. And let's just say this man says, you know, I decide. And they follow through. So I'm going to. Memorize scripture every day. This man says, you know what? Saturday night, our family is going to spend special time praying for our pastor. We're going to get ready for the Lord's house and church on Saturday night. I guess you'd give many illustrations. But a young person stands up and says, you know what? That thing in my life, I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore. I don't care what everybody else does. I'm going to do what's right. Amazing. Amazing the effect. If you are a perceptive Christian, you will come to church. Now, I get to be more direct contact up here. I get to see everybody's eyeballs. I get to see people's response to the Bible. I mean, I get to feel it every week. But you know what? There is an aura around a person when they're doing right. Because spiritual things are real, aren't they? They're invisible, but they are real. Now, as we close this message, I just want to ask the question. Are you aware of your personal effect on the spiritual power of the church? Are you aware? I think it's probably connected with something else. You probably aren't really aware if you don't really care. And if you don't care, you probably are negatively affecting the spiritual power of the church. You know, I think the testimony of the New Testament church was, and I think this is true. You know, I think that we live in difficult days. You can talk to any pastor in America and any church that is trying to take a stand on music and dress finds that their reception is very, very standoffish reception in the world. Any church that is trying to really take a stand. But you know, I think there is a solution to that. I think the solution is spiritual power. And you may care a lot and you may do a lot to strengthen this church in your life, but you know, all of us could add to the spiritual power of this church even tonight. By dealing with something in our life, surrendering to God with some area of our life, allowing God to work in our life. You know, if everybody in this room responded, or even if 1/4 of the people in this room tonight made a concrete response to this issue, there would be a huge difference in the atmosphere on Sunday. But not only that, but for instance, we have a lady who comes this last Sunday to visit the church. God is working in her life. What's the difference between her coming to the Lord or being able to push it off? You know what it is? The spiritual power of the church. Lord, we pray that you'll use the Word of God tonight as we are encouraged tonight to add to the spiritual power of this ministry. And Lord, many times those decisions are subtle. Many times those are little things, little yielding to Thee. And yet we know that every one of them is big and mighty. And Lord, whether it is a spirit of bitterness or rebellion or pride or materialism or worldliness, or whether it is, Lord, just loving you more. Deciding to do right because it's right. Lord, I pray that you will work in our hearts tonight. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hand, but right now would be a great time to settle that thing with the Lord. Just one thing. One little thing. Maybe it's a child just saying, I'm going to obey my mom. I'm going to say thank you. I'm going to be kinder to my wife. I'm going to be a better spiritual leader. I'm going to make steps to overcome through Christ's power that sin that I've allowed in my life. Lord, may now your Holy Spirit do a work that only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.